In 1 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, very thing that I had been reading, and I thought, brother, how apropos is this? David has two encounters with the Philistines in 1 Chronicles 14. And when the Philistines, verse 8, when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. When the enemy heard. When he heard. He said, I'll stop that. I'll change that. He heard about your blessing. He heard about your healing. He heard about God restoring something in your life. He heard about God's touch in your home. He heard about that. Heard about that. He heard about your being blessed. He heard about your coming out of whatever you're dealing with right now. And so the enemy came out. And all, the Bible said all the Philistines went up to, all. Now, you just let me be pastor, say what I want to say, because I've been pastor long enough. I think once again, all of Satan's little demons just said, we're going to take another run on that church. And what he didn't realize is he's going to relocate us 3 miles from where we were, 144,000 cars a day. And put us in a more strategic position. And we have a Christian school now that we'd never had before. Now, folks, these are not just points to get you excited. These are things that Joe and I have been praying over and meditating for several days. You know, the wags say, well, what's wrong there? What's wrong? The faith people say, it's going to be interesting to see what God does this time. Faith people say, we're coming through on the high side of victory. Well, the Bible said the Philistines came, spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of God. Now, church, whether it's after a fire in your personal life with me, we must inquire of the Lord more diligently than ever before. David inquired of God, and he said, shall I go up against the Philistines and wait, and wilt thou deliver them into my hand? Two good questions. Should I go, and is it going to work? And the Lord said, say it with me, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, the Lord said, whoo, that's shouting ground. And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. And so they came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. And David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by my hand like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim, which means the God of breakout and the God of breakthrough. The God of breakout and the God of breakthrough. And the Philistines left their gods there, and David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. He was in no mood to put up with Halloween. Okay, I'm sorry. It just aggravates me. You can celebrate Halloween, but you can't celebrate Christmas. What's the problem? It's cultural. Well, I'll tell you, it's eternity. Jesus is eternal. Okay, I'm just not real fond of Halloween. Amen. Pumpkin pie is good, but that's where it ends. All right, so the enemy comes, all of them. Did you ever have a week you felt like everything Satan had he threw at you? Yeah, we've had one of those weeks, it looked like, or one of those times. Now, you'd think that Satan would learn his lesson and never give you another problem. And some people say, you know, you come to Jesus, you'll never have any problems. Well, a person that lies to you about that will lie to you about other things. But the difference is we have, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. You'd thought they'd learned at 5th and Penn, but here they come to 35W. Therefore, David inquired again of the Lord. Say it with me. David inquired again of the Lord. There's a simple but a profound truth in these two stories. Enemy comes in one time. Israel is fierce for frontal attacks. Man, I mean, when they come against you, they know the power of moving quick and the shock, the fear of shock. They're the masters of frontal attacks. And David's human tendency would have been, we'll just do what we did last time. We assume or presume upon the grace of God. God may do it the way he did it last time. He will do it, but he may do it a little differently this time. You understand what I'm saying? And so all the enemy comes in. And David inquired again of God. You know, this touches my heart so deeply. David was not arrogant and said, we know how to take care of the enemy. You know, David went before God and said, God, we got another problem here. And he inquired again of the Lord. I mean, the language is so simple here. Really, it explains itself. And God said unto him, go not up after them, turn away from them. That doesn't sound like God, does it? Doesn't sound like God running from a fight. I mean, God is like Israelis. I mean, when he smacks you in the face, you know what I'm talking about if you're the enemy. But God said, go not up after them, turn away from them. Wait a minute. And come upon them over against the mulberry trees. What God said, don't do a frontal attack this time. Go around them and come up behind them. And when you hear the wind and when you see the rustling of, it was a mulberry tree. The Bible is very plain, at least in the King James here, said the mulberry tree. So when this happens, it's time to move. And it shall be when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees that thou shalt go out to battle. For God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And in verse 16, I love this also, David therefore did as God commanded him. He did what God said to do. Remember we told you from Genesis 26, really to be successful, you do what God said to do where God said to do it. I've been preaching that thing all year long. I tell you, every time I read it just comes out stronger to me. Genesis 26, time of famine, time of recession, whatever you want to call it. David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all the lands by Facebook and internet. And the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. 2,000, when the storms... You know, if you get bored with this, why, you can fold your Bible and go to sleep. That's all right. But this is real life for us, you know. 2000, Joe and I were there in our study, and we had two of our church folks with us, and we were talking over things. And so we concluded the conversation, and they said, Pastor, it looks rough out there. Well, it looked rough many times. From my office, you could see any storm coming up. And I've seen hail, I've seen snow, I've seen wind, I've seen a little bit of everything there in that office. Stepped out of the office, as you know the story, hardly 60 seconds later, twin tornadoes slammed into our downtown property. So, we were there. I think it was my brother-in-law that called Brother Charlie. He said, Charlie, have you all had any effect from that storm? Charlie said, slightly, something to that effect. Anyway, well, you know, and the next day I was, you had to, legally, I had on a construction hat, and I was out there, and CNN and ABC and NBC and XYZ, all of them were out there. And they were trying to get a negative statement. And they said, don't you, you've heard the story, but I want to hear it again myself, okay? Don't you consider this to be bad luck? They said bad luck, a dark omen. Don't you think something must be wrong? I mean, do you? And then they just really fired. They said, don't you feel like quitting? Well, you know, I didn't concede to any of those points. But I consistently said, I know Andrew Womack reminded me a number of times. He said, the world saw you in that hard hat saying, as with Job, we will come out with twice as much. And that went out over the news media. And of course, God has done, really, we've come out probably 2.5. We might have even come, probably have come out 3 times where we were before. Now, I mean, just the way the whole thing came down. It's a long story, and I won't bother you with that today. This time, I was in L.A., asleep for the night, catch a plane the next day, and I get a phone call, at which, I mean, the phone call had to come, and I needed to be notified. And it's a strange feeling, because I'm an on-location kind of a guy. And I didn't know what to do. And I talked to those back here. I talked to Brother Mark more than once. And I said, I can be on the next plane. What should we do? They said, there's not a thing you can do. Not a thing you can do at this point. And we checked until an hour before flight the next day. And they said, go on. And there really wasn't. And so we've been out of town for a few days, and I was asking God, and God said, not this time, this way. Before I was on location, for some reason, God said, not this time, that way. You see, the enemy came at David and his soldiers. The Spirit of God led David to frontal attack, as I've already said, in great victory. Satan destroyed our building, but he didn't destroy our church. He didn't destroy our Christian school. He didn't destroy the power tower. He didn't destroy, you know, I could name all the other departments. He got our building, but he didn't take the ministry. He didn't take Joy and I out. Thank God, God spared us, nor any other fatalities. One lady had 3 stitches, and I'm, you know, sorry she had to do that, but she was very grateful because a wall fell on her and she came out with only 3 stitches. So it was a miracle after miracle. We declared by faith at least twice as much, and just look what the Lord has done. You're sitting in the evidence of a miracle of God. You're not reading this in somebody's book. You're not hearing this or seeing this on television. You're sitting in the midst of a miracle of God. Our school is a miracle of God. Now, as I said, you'd think the enemy would learn his lesson. And that's it. This is not an act of God. This is not an act of God. Write that quote down. This is not an act of God any more than Job's attack was an attack of God. It was Satan that went forth from the presence of God and did the dirty work. Could God have stopped it? We'll ask him that in heaven. I don't know. I mean, God is not blind. He's not insensitive. I don't have all the answers. All I know is I'm just trying to do the best I know how to do and believe the best I know how to believe, and going down the road and try to be a good pastor and do what God's called us all to do for my part of it. Now the enemy comes again. Now listen to me, saints of God. You know, you said, my Lord, Pastor, I just got through with something and here it comes again. Okay. That's basic life. Buck up. Amen. No crybabies here. No crybabies. This not only is about a church, this is about you. and your life. And I'm preaching hope and faith and love for you. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. And so here the enemy comes again. This is not an act of God, neither was Job's attack an act of God. Satan meant to take the whole church building out overnight. Overnight. Tornado only took 44 seconds, but he thought he'd bring it in the still of the night. Nobody would know. Everyone's basically, out. And as I said a moment ago, the wags say, what's wrong? But the faith people say, what Satan meant for harm, God's going to turn it for good. And we have to make the decision. Are we going to agree with the wags, the naysayers? Are we going to agree that regardless of what comes, that we can praise God in the midst of the storm? We can do that. God will turn this for good. Now David prayed, God, how do we face it this time? I mean, forget the church here for a while. I want to put it right back where all of us live. And this message comes, God, how should I face this time? What should I do? Man, the financial reports are scary. And we're talking about printing more paper money. I mean, folks, things are out in the natural, things are out of control. Not God's control. Financial experts, I spent a little bit of time watching some television. I don't usually do that at home. And, you look at people that have good logic and they have facts and they have figures. And, either you're going to live by faith. The Bible, listen to me. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 2:2, the just shall live by his faith. Financially, education-wise, throwing good money on, I guess it's good money, it's just recently printed, on bad money. It's not working, so we're going to pour some more money into it. Thank God for Christian education. Thank God for biblical worldview values being taught. Stronger than before, I pray in the name of Jesus. David inquired again. And God said, go not up. Now, this, as I said a moment ago, what is the deal here? Is God out of the war business? Is God out of the rescue business? Does God still deliver? Yes, he does. Turn away from them. God, I want to go whip them. And come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And when you hear God's wind in the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle. For God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Let me tell you how David won on this occasion. David did as God commanded him. Oh, you're one of those literalists, aren't you? Yeah. It's worked for me for many, many years. David did as God commanded him, and he smote the army of the Philistines. And the news went out into all the land or the world. And of course, this is wild. When we flew over from Los Angeles to Maui, when we got up to leave the plane, the jet bridge, how you get off wasn't working. And so we all had to stay on the plane about 25 minutes. And I look behind me and there's Willie Nelson. And, guy, but I mean, I said, that's Willie. He said, yeah. I said, he has a home here in Maui. I said, okay. Well, everybody was trying to shake his hand, and, I gave him his privacy. I didn't want to bother him. Well, coming back, we sat down, look over, and Willie Nelson sitting right beside us. So that was interesting. And So he introduced him. We introduced ourselves to one another. And when he said, well, what do you do? And I told him where we did it. And he said, oh. He said, well, how's that fire coming out? I said, how do you know about it? There's no secrets anymore, you know? How's that? He knew more about the fire than I did. But I first shook hands with him. I said, well, you're on the road again, aren't you? He said, I'm flying this time. He was headed for Charlotte for a gig there. We got in an interesting conversation, but it was just interesting as we were able to share with him what God has done and the things about our television station and some other things. And he was just very warm, very kind, very considerate. I had never met him before, but the flight attendant said he's one of the most courteous people we ever have on this plane. And so anyway, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And it's kind of interesting. I'd let him have his privacy, and he didn't want to talk some more. So we talked some more, and he said, would you come preach in my church? And I said, well, sure, I'll come preach in your church. Then I thought a while, and I said, I'll tell you what. I'll come preach in your church if you come sing in my church. Well, he said, I'd be glad to do that. He said, you come preach in my church, I'll be there. I'll be there. And I said, well, because, you know, almost every entertainer on the road got started as a gospel singer. They know more hymns than most of us modern folks do. But he was very kind, very gracious. But I just got to thinking, you know, the steps of a good man order to the Lord. And I just want to say this to us today. You know, God help us to be at the right place at the right time. You never know. He wanted information and card and everything on, who knows. But I was kind, he was kind, and he was a very gracious man. Now here's what I'd like to do to kind of put a wrap on what I'm saying here this morning. Don't stop believing in the dark days what God has shown you in the light days. We get all fired up in church and I got a word from God and I read this and what. But what God has shared with you, hold on to it. And I just want to officially one more time, because I didn't get to on the scene at the time, I declare by faith, some way, somehow, we'll come out of this thing with twice as much. We will come. We'll come out. We'll come through. And I'm not talking about taking advantage of anyone. I'm not talking about anything unscrupulous or anything that's illegal. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you know the story. How that God gave us favor for the sale of the downtown property. That's why we have a Christian school. That's exactly why we have a Christian school. Out of the storm came a school we never had. Didn't have a gym for 21 years. Now we have two. One's a little smoky right now. Of course, it's got some smoke stuff in it. But here's what God said. Lord, how's it going to work this time? The mistake we make is trying to make number 13 fit again or number 7 fit again. We need to consult God every step of the journey. What do I do now? How do I handle this? Which way do I go? Don't presume. Don't presume. Ask God for wisdom. But I've got a quote you can write down. I got another one-liner here. When you hear God's wind, you will win. I said, when you hear God's wind, you will win. When you hear and see God's wind, you obey in faith, you will win. Not because your name is what your name is, but because your trust is in God. Not as before, that's what God said, not the same way, not as before, but victory more. Not as before, but victory more. Not as before, but victory more. Not the same way, but twice as much. For you and for us, for the church. Because we're partners. I said we're partners in this church. So when I win, you win. And when you win, I win. When we win, that's called a blowout. And the storm is one more proof to my heart. The best is yet to come. God's not through. God's not a quitter. God is not defeated. Our God is an awesome God. Got one birthday card and said, "Dear Pastor Nichols, you've been like a faith father to me." He said, "We first started coming to this church years ago. I had a tiny faith. I had a tiny God. We lived in a tiny house. And I drove a tiny car. Now I've got a big faith. I've got a bigger house. And I've got two cars." Tiny faith. Tiny house, tiny wardrobe, tiny job, tiny car, even had a small dog. Now they got a big dog, got a bigger house, bigger car. Not bad, not bad at all. And the bigger car is paid for. And the bigger house is almost paid for. My message is not about things, but it takes some things to live. How many understand it takes some things to live? Huh? You need some things called groceries in the cabinets. You need something that you enjoy wearing. A broke church can't evangelize the world. God loves you if you're broke. Dear Lord, some of us have been worse than broke. God loves broke people. But part of the power of the gospel of Christ, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. 3 John 2. And you can't be much broker than Joe and I were years ago. Suffering from bad friction, two back payments rubbing up against one another. But God, thank God for Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. He opened our eyes that there was more than just the... And thank forgiveness of sins to get you to heaven. But the Word will give you some heaven to go to heaven with and in. Everybody's got to start somewhere. Hey, this thing's not gauged by your bank account or your financial statement. But I'm here to tell you, you do what God said to do this time. I can't answer to the last time. Maybe it wasn't there. But Lord, what do we do this time? Folks, what I'm saying is so simple. I'm not trying to be complicated. Just hear me carefully. Lord, how do you see it this time? What do I do this time? Which way do I go this time? Get the mind of God. So here are two stories in 1 Chronicles 14, and I'm going to bring our message to a conclusion. The enemy comes to try to wipe them out. And the God of breakout and the God of breakthrough uses David in a frontal attack to just smash the enemy. I mean, just smashed him. Now the enemy comes again. And religious presumption would say, well, we'll just get out old number 14. Or, you know, no. Some people are gifted at teaching faith. And other people just do it. I know a lot of people just do it. They don't even they just know it's Bible. They just do it. They give, they pray, they faithful to God, and God's faithful to them. And then the enemy comes again. Lord, what do we do this time?